ahead and get started. I apologize that we're running a little bit late. We had to make some assignments. Can you guys hear me? Hello? Destiny? Destiny? Hello? Hello? I can talk really loud. There we go. Can you hear me now? Thank you very much. My name is Mayor David Watts. I appreciate you coming out. We'll go ahead and get the meeting started. So we are going to start. Sorry, I'm missing my cheat sheet. It's all new. So we're going to go ahead and get started with the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to thank Scout Troop 1516 for helping us out today. So we'll go ahead and turn the time over to you to get that taken care of. Thank you so much. We appreciate that, Scouts. And you're an important part of our community, and we're absolutely grateful that you're here today. And enjoy sitting through and listening to me blabble on for way too long. Next item, 1.2, council disclosure of conflict of interest. Do any of the council members have any conflicts that they'd like to disclose at this time for our meeting today? All right, thank you very much. Mayor and Council comments and recommendations. Does anybody have any comments or recognitions they'd like to make today?
I'll make one comment. Again, we talked about this a little bit in our work meeting, but I just want to commend the staff, especially Wendy and her staff, for the work that has gone into preparing and running our ice ribbon in our new park out front. Again, I believe myself as well as all other members of the council are getting a tremendous amount of positive feedback on that. We talked about how unique this is for us to have that type of amenity in our community. And I think we talked about the vision and the planning that went into bringing this type of amenity here. And I think it definitely has accomplished the goal of a unique amenity, but one that allows and fosters bringing the community together. And just wanted to put that on the record. I've just been nudged here. How many of the scouts that are sitting there have been out on the ice ribbon yet? Any of you? Oh, one. Excellent.
Did you fall?
Homework assignment for the scouts. Go try the new ice ribbon this weekend. Wendy says it's going to be busy. There you go. That's an activity for you.
Yep.
Now I've touched it.
Any other comments from the rest of the council? Okay. I do want to just echo what Councilman Smith has said. I am extremely pleased with the response that we have received from our community with the ice ribbon, and I credit that back to staff, past and present, who have taken the time to create a fantastic opportunity for our residents to enjoy some recreation in our city, and we're very, very grateful for that, so thank you. I do also want to make a comment for those who may be watching on social media. While we do appreciate your comments, we just want to make sure that it is clear that while you may comment online through Facebook or other forums, that is not something that as a council we can see, and we are unable to consider that during the meeting. While we'll be happy to review that later, please be aware that if you would like to make comments, you do need to be here in person, or you're welcome to email your comments to the city council so that we can make sure that we have that and can review it. So thank you for that.
It's also not part of the public record, right?
It is not part of the public record. That is true. Okay. All right. Next, we will be moving to public comment. Audience members may bring any item to the mayor and council's attention. Comments will be limited to 2 minutes. If you are representing a recognized group, you can request at the beginning of your comment to have that extended to 5 minutes as you're representing a group. State law prohibits the council from acting on items that do not appear on the agenda. So while we would be happy to consider those and possibly place those on a future meeting, it is not something that we would necessarily be able to act on at this meeting. So at this time,
you want to mention 6.1.
Thank you. See, I've got good people around me. So item 6.1, the discussion and consideration of ordinance of an ordinance declaring property located at 13011 South Pioneer Street as surplus and establishing a minimum bid. That is our community center, formerly our city hall. We will be opening for public comment at the time that we take, after we hear from our staff on their staff report to make sure the public has an opportunity to speak. So please, if you would be so considerate as to hold your comments until that time so that we can hear them all after we have heard the staff report. This is our first opportunity to get together and talk about it as a council, so we'd like to hear from them first.
And we think it would be beneficial for you guys to hear that staff report as well before your comments.
We want to make sure that you understand what we're hearing, and you'll hear it at the exact same time we do. So thank you. We appreciate that. Other than that, we'll go ahead and open the public comment. We generally will start with any comment forms we've received. We have one comment form from Steve Garrett, so we'll invite him up. Will you please start by stating your name for the record?
Steve Garrett, 5443 West Genoa Court. Good evening, Mayor Watts. That sounds kind of cool to say. And members of the council, I want to first appreciate you guys for your willingness to serve and take on the responsibility for our community. I want to talk about, this is a refreshing opportunity for a new council and some fresh ideas to infuse our city. As many of you know, our previous council at the end became unmoored from the will of the people. And the crux of that argument was commercial. And in my opinion, bringing commercial to our city and giving up too much for that. I think Harriman needs to learn an important lesson with Town Center and the Center Cal development just to our border. That was owned by the same people, but two cities with vastly different plans. We built the high density so that Center Cal can be there. Dan McKay came to our city and he made an interesting comment. He said, some of Harriman's commercial might not be viable. And what I see is I see a developer being asked by the city to make part of their property be non-viable commercial. And from their perspective, they're like, hey, we've got to pay taxes on property that won't be viable as a commercial piece for a long time. Dan McKay also mentioned the word redevelopment. And I'm sure some of you know what that means. I think that the council needs to look at other cities that are around us and let them build our high density. Let them do some high density on our borders. Let them build it so our commercial becomes viable. I think that that's some lessons that we've got to learn, is we can't force commercial. Cities around to our north, Sandy, Salt Lake, have huge commercial bases that I'm sure Harriman envies. But none of that extra money that's gleaned from that commercial ever comes back to the residents. It's just gobbled up by a larger city government. Now, I love commercial. I'm a businessman myself. I have three businesses myself that provide for my family. I love business. I'm not anti-business. But we've got to be careful on what we're giving up as a city. And have it make sense. Again, I'd like to thank you guys. I'm excited for the new council. I'm excited for like some new opportunities here. I think we have a unique opportunity. And I just want to compliment you guys, and I hope you have a nice evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. All right, that was the last comment form we have. So if anybody would like to come up, once again, reminder that we will be discussing the community center at a later time this evening. If there's anybody else that would have comment, we would invite you to come up at this time. All right. Seeing none, we will close the public comment section of our meeting. Thank you. All right. Next item we have, item three, is mayor and council board and committee reports. Are there any? I know we haven't necessarily signed the committees and councils yet. We're doing that later. So are there any reports that we can have back from any of the members that may have possibly attended a board?
Just one quick one for public consumption, the league's legislative policy committee. The legislative session is about to begin. And like any legislative policy or legislative session, they want to take a lot of local control away from cities, et cetera. So we will work closely with the league on those issues, and we'll continue to keep you guys updated.
Thank you. All right, moving forward. Item 4.1. We will be continuing that meeting to a future, that item to a future meeting. We were unable to get that pulled together today, so we will go ahead and move forward. Can you not hear me? Is this better? If I talk like this. All right. Let's see what we can do to make this a little bit better. So for item 4.1, we will be I'll be looking for a motion to continue that, to move that to a future meeting. We don't need a motion.
Yeah.
Do we need a vote? Okay. Then we will move that forward. Thank you. Appreciate it. 4.2, appointment of the 2018 Mayor Pro Tem, Brett Wood. Anything you want to say about it?
So we, as in every new council, when the mayor served in that position, vote by the council to approve a mayor pro tem to fill in the capacity when the mayor cannot attend to a meeting or conduct a meeting.
Sorry.
Okay. So the council has discussed this item in the work meeting, and like I said before, there's been a very few instances where we have to actually use a mayor pro tem, but sometimes when they do take a vacation, it's rare, and sometimes they cannot be reached. In that time, the mayor pro tem comes and acts in the duties of the ceremonies of the mayor and signs plats and such to keep the city business moving forward. And I would like the council to make the nomination.
I will make a motion. You want to do that? Or we just want, or we want to have a nomination and discussion? We kind of...
Do we need a nomination? Okay.
All right. Then I'll make a motion to approve resolution number R01-2018, appointing Nicole Martin to be the elected as mayor pro tem for calendar year 2018.
I will second.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. I'll take a vote.
Any discussion?
Is there any discussion? Okay. See, people are helping me. Any discussion?
I'll just make a comment that I think, as was mentioned and noted in our previous work meeting, that Nicole has a tremendous amount of experience, and should she be called on to act in this capacity, I think has all the knowledge and skills and abilities necessary to be able to act as a great pro tem for this council moving forward throughout this calendar year.
And I would just be honored to accept that. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, I will go ahead and take a vote. Jared?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
And I will vote yes as well, so that motion passes. All right, and does anybody want to make any comment on their vote at this time? Okay.
I'll just make a comment that is, we heard clear direction by council, but we'll put it on a calendar tickler to where we bring this to you at the end of the year next year, so we will not be with our mayor pro tem coming into January next year.
Thank you very much. And I do also want to extend my confidence in Councilwoman Martin for filling this position. She, I believe, in my absence, would do a fantastic job. So thank you very much. Next item we have is item 4.3, appointment of a representative to the Unified Fire Authority, Unified Fire Service Area Board of Trustees. I think at this point, are we good just going through these as a council, just instead of having a report every time? Okay.
I mean, so for maybe for those that are watching that didn't see the work meeting, we've discussed these, and I think we're kind of in agreement for most of these board assignments.
Absolutely.
So with that, Mr. Mayor, I'm ready to make a motion on item 4.3.
Okay.
Motion to approve resolution number R02-2018, appointing Nicole Martin as the Harriman City representative to the Unified Fire Authority Board. And actually, we don't need one for the trustees, is that correct? No, we do. Thank you. Yes, and the Unified Fire Service Area Board of Trustees.
Thank you.
I second that.
So I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? No? I'll go ahead and take a vote. Nicole?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
And I will vote yes. So that motion passes. All right. Item 4.4, appointment of a representative to Unified Police Department Board.
I'll make a motion, Mayor. Motion to approve resolution number R03-2018, appointing Jared Henderson to be the Harriman City representative to the Unified Police Department Board.
I will second.
A motion, a second. Discussion? Thank you. I'll take a vote. Sherry?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
And I will vote yes as well, so that motion passes. 4.5, appointment of representative to South Valley Sewer Board.
I'd like to make a motion, Mayor. The motion to approve resolution number R04-2018, appointing Clint Smith to be the Harriman City representative to the South Valley Sewer Board.
Second.
Okay. Have a motion, a second. Do we have discussion? Yeah. I'll take a vote. Clint?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
And I will vote yes as well, so that motion passes. Item 4.6, appointment of a representative to the South Salt Lake Valley Mosquito Abatement District.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number R05-2018, appointing David Watts to be the Harriman City representative to the South Salt Lake Valley Mosquito Abatement District.
I will second.
Motion, a second. Discussion? I'll take a vote. Jared?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
And I will vote yes as well. That motion passes. Appointment of a representative to the Council of Governments.
Mr. Mayor, I will make a motion on item 4.7, motion to approve resolution number R06-2018, appointing David Watts to be the Harriman City representative to the Council of Government.
I second that.
Ooh.
It's a tie. I'll give it to you, Sherry.
Okay. Sherry seconds. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? We will go ahead and take a vote. Nicole?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
And I will vote yes. That motion passes. This is fun. Aren't you scouts enjoying the civil process at work?
Efficiency.
We're getting through it. All right. 4.8, appointment of a representative to the Wasatch Front Waste and Recycling District.
I'll make motion to approve resolution number R07-2018, appointing Sherry Orne to be the Harriman City representative to the Wasatch Front Waste and Recycling District Board.
I'll second.
Motion, a second. Discussion? I will take a vote. Clint?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
All right. And I will vote yes as well. That motion passes. All right. So we will now move on to the consent.
Mr. Mayor, just one quick comment, if I may, before we move on to the consent agenda. I should have made this prior to making, as we got into the board assignments. I just want to point out to our residents and those watching online as well that we did in our work meeting discussion. We did have a discussion, obviously, about these board appointments. And I think, as you can see, since there was disbursement of those assignments amongst all members of the council, that we were all in agreement that the only way for us as elected officials to truly be able to govern effectively and efficiently in our community is to share the workload and to be engaged in these committees so that we can learn the knowledge and the expertise that comes along with making good decisions for our community. And so I just wanted to say that I appreciate the other members of the council having that same philosophy and being willing to share, even though I know there was interest from some, you know, sometimes multiple people to serve on these boards, that we were able to very efficiently divvy out those assignments so that we could all be actively engaged in our community, which I think is essential for the success of this body moving forward. So just a comment.
Any other comment? All right.
Just in agreeance.
All right. Fantastic. All right, we will move on to the consent agenda. So for our scout, so that you understand what a consent agenda is issues that we generally all agree with and don't need to spend a lot of time talking, so we do them all at one time. So we have a consent agenda, and so I'll accept a motion to approve the consent agenda. We'll accept a motion at this time.
I'm sorry, I thought Jared was telling you something. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
I second that.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. We'll take a vote. Jared?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
And I will vote yes. That motion passes. All right. Moving on down through the list. Discussion and action items. Item 6.1, discussion and consideration of an ordinance declaring property located at 13011 South Pioneer Street as surplus and establishing a minimum bid. Monty Johnson. Interesting. Appreciate it.
Having some technical difficulties.
I think it's over here. The clicker is over there, I think.
Mayor and Council, appreciate the time tonight. This presentation may look a little bit redundant. It's pretty much the same presentation that we gave last month to the previous council and mayor. Since we've had a change right in the middle of it, we decided to rerun through some of the same figures and that and give the same information so everybody had the same information. One more. Okay, so we started out with an appraisal back in August of 2016. This slide here represents the summary from that appraisal. It runs through the building, what it's built of, the year it was constructed, square footage, different things like that. The basic idea here is that they concluded that the building was worth just slightly under $1.7 million.
I'm sorry, one more time. What was the date of that appraisal?
That was August of 2016.
2016, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So this process started quite a while ago, back when we were first looking at building the new city hall and what we might do with things. Okay, so in this presentation, we'll go over through all the different options and different things that we might be able to do with that building. One is to continue to own and operate the building. We would do this in a situation like, say, maybe Salt Lake County or somebody had a different agency, maybe had a need for a building like that, that they would be able to do a community service in this area, such as aging services or one of those type of a thing. This is a basic layout of what it costs to operate and maintain that building for 1 year. And if anybody has any questions, go ahead and just speak up on.
Like, just make a comment, because it's a question I've gotten from a few people looking at the costs of the building maintenance, repair, all the equipment, et cetera. I've gotten the cost. Does it really cost that much every year? If you could maybe speak to that point a little bit, how we get those numbers.
This is what it costs us to operate that building. We've been operating that building for quite a few years, and we've stripped out all of the things that pertain to the city. But this is basically a breakdown of what it is budgeted for every year to maintain and operate that building.
So while some of these costs might not be incurred that year, they're going to be future costs. So say a roof gets replaced every 10 years, we've got to divvy that cost up every year to account for that.
Yes.
Or is, or is this direct replacement costs each year?
Yeah, so to repair the roof, my estimation is we probably got another 7, maybe 8 years on that roof before we need to start seriously looking at replacing it. Those figures are not in here.
So it's that would be in addition to what we have in front of us.
Yeah.
Okay. So like equipment, $10,500. Explain that for me.
Yeah. So that building is designed with old technology. There are about 13, 14 different furnaces and air conditioning condensers on that building. Mm-hmm. At the age that those units are getting, we end up spending close to, I think our last budget year we spent $9,900 and something just under $10,000 to be able to replace and maintain some units that are in there. So every one of those units, when we lose one, they're about $3,500 to replace. There is other equipment maintenance that goes involved on that, filter changeouts every month, those type of things.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I'm just going to pick apart a couple of them, Moni. Again, because we've got a lot of questions regarding these concrete repairs. Are those are actual repairs that are done every year, not resurfacing anything?
Yeah, so right now that building, at the age that it's getting, we're starting to get some settling in the concrete sidewalks, all of that. This would come in and this would pay for grinding trip hazards. We also have a couple of set of steps on the back of that building where the rebar is starting to rust, come through the face. What happens when that starts to rust, the moisture expands during the cold season and it'll pop the faces off those steps. So we would end up replacing or repairing some of those steps.
Sorry, I meant asphalt, the resurfacing.
Asphalt. Right now that parking lot has been allergating pretty bad. It started getting, so a lot of the moisture coming from the church parking lot drains across that property also. The asphalt is starting to crack. When it cracks, we start getting moisture penetrating through the surface of the asphalt down to the base. When it starts hitting in the base, it starts getting soft. When vehicles drive over it, it starts breaking up the asphalt. Last year, we spent some money that we had in the budget that we added a waterway, a cement waterway across there, and a drain. We've funneled a lot of that moisture that we was getting across for the church back out onto the sports field out there to where we was able to water the grass with it. So we've made a few improvements over there, but every year we'll have sections of that asphalt that we'll need to cut out and replace. The church does the same thing.
So these are actual direct maintenance costs incurred that year, not accounting for future.
Yeah, these are to replace that parking lot would be much more substantial than that.
Monty, a question with regards to utilities. Are those figures that we see in the presentation before us, are those based on prior use? I mean, obviously, yes. We're talking that some of, we may have times if we, you know, chose to lease this building and retain it, that we wouldn't be using all areas of the building, so that some of those costs may not,
some
feasibly
of
may not be as high as are indicated here. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, some of them could go down. These are actual operating budget numbers that when we were in the building.
In the fully occupied?
Yes. Okay. Now, some of the areas of the building we could turn down the heat a little bit. It'll fluctuate a little bit. But even to keep the building operating, you want to maintain a certain level so that we don't end up with pipes freeze and different things like that.
And it can flex either way, right? It can go, if depending on the type of business there, if we had something that was power hungry, the electricity bill could go up. Okay.
Yeah, very well could. Any other questions there?
I do have a question on the date. I know it was back in August of 2016. Tell me how relevant that appraisal remains, because it's a year and a half old.
You're asking, I'm a little hard to hear.
I'm sorry. So the appraisal date was August of 2016, so it's a year and a half old. So how relevant is it currently? Are those appraisals, are we assuming that that's still an accurate appraisal?
I would say that the market's probably changed a little bit. So we'll talk a little bit more about the appraisal and what we've done. So basically is what we wanted to do is we wanted to establish a value on the building up front, right? It costs dollars to appraise that building, so we could go back through another appraisal if we decide that that's the direction we would like to go. If it's not the direction that we want to go, then we probably would be wasting money for another appraisal.
Right.
Okay. Next, we talked about the possibility of leasing the building. So this is just basically a quick summary to kind of give you an idea of what different types of leases are out there. So you have a full service lease. That's a lease where the landlord would take all of the expenses and they would take care of all of them, but they would recoup those through a higher lease rate through the tenant. The advantage to that, or the benefit to that, is the tenant knows exactly, here's what my costs are going to be month to month, and they don't have to worry about whether they end up fluctuating or that. They're based off of that. Then you have a single net lease. That's just a real quick, down and dirty, basic lease. That's where you would pay, or you would charge somebody a base rate, and then they would also be charged for the property taxes. And that's something to make note with this. Right now, that building is not being charged property taxes. So if you go back to the other sheet, mortgage and property taxes were listed as zero. If we repurpose that building and we decide we're going to lease it to a business or that, we have to contact the Utah State Tax Commission, and they start generating taxes off of it.
Would that be the case if it's leased to nonprofit organizations, et cetera?
It may or may not. We would have to submit an application, and then they would decide.
On the use.
And do we know, so it'd be based on the total cost of the taxes would be based on the use? Is that what you're saying? Okay. So we'd have any idea what we'd be looking at for that?
I have an estimated on these next few pages. A double net lease, basically they would do the same thing. They'd pay a base rent, and then they'd pay their pro rata share for the property taxes and insurance on the building. And then you have the triple net lease. Triple net lease seems to be the most popular for most of the commercial leases, and that covers the base rent, property taxes, building insurance, and CAMs. CAMs are a common area maintenance, so like snow removal, if you had a lobby, if you had an attendant sitting in the lobby, and you had multiple businesses, they would all pay a fair share of that. Okay. So these are just some basic numbers. By no means am I a professional realtor, but through research, this is what we've come up with, what a base single net lease may look like for that building. $12 a square foot seems to be about the going rate for what most places are looking for here. We pulled some comparables of different buildings that are leasing space, like behind the Chevron over here, down by Smith's and around. I've got the building listed at 15,000 square feet because we went off usable space on the inside of numbers that we had versus what the appraisal came in at, like 16. So you'll see a slight discrepancy there. We've listed the property value of what the appraisal was. It's a 3% annual rate of appreciation. Base rent would be $12 a square foot per year, with increase in rental of approximately 3%. One thing to make note is vacancy rate. Right now, the average vacancy rate runs at about 14.8%. So you could be on the market for a while before you actually found a tenant for it, depending on the location and the price of the lease. So if you look down here, you'll have a base rental rate comes out, and we've amortized it over 5 years. Most brokers offer an incentive for a longer term lease, like a five year. Most of those are offering a three month free rent. So if you look at the cost, you'll have the operating costs in there, the utilities, insurance, taxes, and what that would come across. So on the base rent, if you look over to the far right, on a single net, that would include the base rent and the taxes. And then you bring that down, and then we deduct out the broker commission. the five-year incentive, the operating costs, insurance, and taxes, and that gives you a rough idea of where you would be at as far as a five-year return on leasing it at that price. Additional expenses that may be incurred could be property management. Right now, we're not staffed to manage leasing a building. So we may look at something like that. The average rate looked like about for that square footage about $23,000. Building remodel and improvements. Most tenants that move into a building like that, that building's not really set up for the way that they would operate, and there would be some concessions as far as remodel. On a single net lease, those options are a lot less what the landlord would offer them as far as incentive to do that. You'll notice on the others we'll increase that a little bit. So a triple net lease would look like this. The numbers are based on the same numbers so that you could see a true comparison. With this, we would collect for the base rent, the CAM charges, the insurance and taxes. That's why you see that the lease rate now has gone from $12 a square foot up to 14.93. And you'll see that those charges are back out of it down on the bottom. You would roughly net about $574,000 on that. Now notice that also in this one here, the building remodel and improvements have gone from $25 to $60 per square foot. A lot of times that's some concessions that the landlords would offer to entice a tenant to come in.
To just make sure that everyone, including the public, is aware, when we're saying, you know, $5.75 million or $574,000 in net revenue to the city, that's over the course of 5 years, correct?
5 years.
So it's not every year, and this is just to make sure it's clear to everyone, it's over the course of 5 years.
Yeah, and that's gross revenue, not minus the operating costs we just talked
Pardon?
About. That's gross revenue.
Is that gross or net?
Oh, no, you've got operating costs, sorry.
That's got all the operating costs back out of it. Now, that would be also if you leased the whole building, right?
And we're able to.
If we were only leasing a section of the building or a portion of it, that would affect that number greatly.
Correct.
I think to make clear on your operating costs, you've carved out the cleaning and those type of things out of that from your first
No,
number.
So the cleaning's not out of these options. The next option will be a full service option, and in something like that, we would collect the dollars for that. We would supply the cleaning and all that. Most leases, basically, is how it works, is the tenant is responsible for their own portion of, like, the utilities, the cleaning services. If they had, just thinking off the top of my head, just their basic uses. If the landlord would be responsible for air conditioning units, parking lots, structural things that if they're leasing that building, we have to supply the building usable for them. All the plumbing fixtures, electrical, any of that type of stuff. Those key components would be the landlord's responsibility.
Monty, just a question for you. Again, this is based on $12 per square foot. As a base rate. And again, was that number taken from your own research of comparables, or was that done as part, if I remember right, reading through the appraisal, when they got into potential of leasing, seemed like the rates quoted in there were a little bit lower, this more around the $9 to $10 rate. So is your number based on, you think, again, in that year and a half since we've seen it, that those base rates have come up, or what's the basis for the $12 as
the,
far as
the $12 is off the comparables that I searched around in local businesses that are in this area. The two biggest things that tend to affect lease rates are location and square footage. That location is a problem that building has. It's not on the beaten path, and we'll show you that in another slide.
So there's a potential then, as we look at some of these scenarios that play out, that $12 may
might
not
be
achievable.
High. Yeah, it might be a little high.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go to the next one. Next one's a full service. In this one, we would collect all of the costs that you see, the base rent, the miscellaneous costs, which would include the cleaning services, CAM charges, operating costs, utilities, insurance, taxes, notice that the price jumps to $19.53 per square foot. Most places around here aren't operating a full service lease, but that would put you out of the market. With that one, you drop down and you remove the prices and you end up with about the same dollar. Okay, let's jump to the next one. Okay, so we also pulled some traffic numbers to see what we have. Somebody that would be interested in purchasing this building or leasing this building would probably not be the type of business that needs exposure to generate their business. It's not really on a beaten path. If you notice on the picture, the red square is the City Hall location, the old community center. The traffic counts on that intersection heading in front of that are 1,219 cars per day. Last time we ran a traffic study on that. And the problem with some of that traffic study is a lot of those cars, or a good portion of those, are high school kids going back and forth to school. So if you
They don't want to stop at the dentist on the way there?
What's that?
They don't want to stop at the dentist on the way there?
Maybe an ice cream.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you compare that and you go down to the maroon section in the middle, you'll notice that that's the strip mall that's behind the Chevron and Taco Time. And traffic counts in front of that is 10,019 cars per day. And those tend to not be as many school-age kids. If you go down in front of Smith's, one last note, 14,207 cars per day in front of that. So another thing that kind of concerns me about it is from just to me to add my comment from a maintenance perspective, it concerns me that we have a building that is somewhat vacant, only used as part-time. We've already had a brick thrown through the basement window. And so typically when kids start finding out that buildings are not in regular use, they tend to be kids. And that window in the basement with the grids and everything in it, it's running about $650 for a replacement. So anyways, is what we're looking for is we'd like to kind of get some direction from council on what type of option you would like us to pursue, and then we'll move forward.
Does anybody have any other questions for Monty?
One question, Monty. Have you done any scenarios, I guess, as we look at, potential uses for this building? Obviously, I personally have heard from a lot of residents as far as their desire, obviously, to maintain the building, but for other possible community uses. Mm-hmm. So as we look at that, obviously, when we start talking about other community uses, then the burden falls to the city for that ongoing O&M for that building.
Yes.
Looked at any scenarios on the financial side of things of if we looked at a mix of that, possibly some lease space for other companies, but retaining some space, and really what those numbers look like coming back to the city. Do we think, if you had a chance to look at those, to know that if we do a partial rent, that we're going to cover the O&M for that building and at least lessen that burden that would still be on the city? Have we done any analysis like that at this point?
I haven't done any in-depth analysis on that. When we first started this project, the council wanted us to run a study on it. We contacted a lot of different brokers and that. All of the folks that are in the real estate business that typically do this type of work, they were super happy to do the work for us if we signed on with them as the broker. At that point, we were not at a point to make any decisions in that direction, so we did a lot of the research ourselves. We did meet with Salt Lake County Aging Services on two occasions, and I've got emails from them that at this point in time they're not looking to expand. I've left messages with Salt Lake County Health Department to find out if they would be interested in maybe locating a clinic out here. Have not heard back from them. So,
but to clarify, Monty, me and Wendy met with them over a year ago, Health Department. They have no interest in expanding their services. In Salt Lake County, last time we met with them, we actually proposed if we pay for their to come run a service here. They still were not interested. They're looking at how they reprogram all their senior centers because they have 16 and they feel like, and Wendy's better talking about this than I am, but they're, we're actually disappointed on what direction that's going as a countywide service. And we, I knew the conversations early on about that might become that use as we build out. But when we built and put our merit into Riverton, and actually Riverton's not being attended to like they thought it would either, so they're kind of pulling back in their thought process of what the seniors want and need. So we actually, at the last time, and that's why the money's got the copy of the email, we actually says, oh, if we pay for you to program it, they still weren't interested. And that was really interesting to me.
Just as a follow-up, I mean, that's one thing I would be interested to see is what we think that those numbers would look like, even if we tried to go to that split approach, talking about the O&M of the building, and if that we even think that would cover it. The second would be, do we think that that's a viable way of approaching this building, of, you know, sharing community space with some lease space? Because I think that that is inherent with some of its own issues, and if that combination is viable. But those are two areas that I think I would like a little more information on, at least as part of this consideration.
Tell me if I'm wrong, Monty, but I think part of the issue with that is it's difficult to gauge that without doing a lot of work. But so we'd be paying staff basically to do a broker's job. I mean, no broker is going to do that because a lot of these places aren't going to pay these rates. They wouldn't make their commission, right?
Agreed.
So it's that's kind of hard to task staff to do, because then we're spending a lot of money that way as well. But it's just, and I don't know when you want to take public comment, but one more question for you, Monty, is I had thought that several months ago we'd had a similar discussion and council had given direction to pursue all options, see what would be viable. I don't remember for sure, but I thought there was talk of there were a couple brokers you had lined up that were going to see what interest there was. Have we gotten any result from that?
We haven't. At the last time that I remember, we talked about it. The broker that we did bring in, there wasn't a good consensus from the council that he was the one they wanted to go with.
That is clear.
And so we
was pushed back to go look at.
So we really haven't taken that. So we really don't know what kind of demand there would be for any of these.
Yeah.
That's probably about a year ago when that conversation happened.
Now, mentioning to him, he did mention some different types of businesses that may be interested in leasing that building. He talked about doctor's offices, dentist offices, some of those type that typically draw clients to them. And he did mention that the size of the building is a little big for one of them to take over, so they were kind of debating on what type would fit well there.
One thought, we received a grant. Where's Gordon? Remember when we received the
grant? We still have the money.
What's that?
We still have the money.
You know where I'm going with this, right?
The incubator.
Yeah, for the incubator program. So we, $250,000, don't hold my memory. Is that? At any rate, we received a grant from the state to start up an incubator program, so a working space. So one thought as we contemplate what might work for that space, that's just something that came to my mind. You know, if in fact this was a building for which we could create, you know, you see a lot of spaces where you have working space that's available, and perhaps we could continue to go to the state if we could come up with a program that would work. But, you know, my thought is, I think we seem to be in a discussion as to what's the best use of that space. I know the public is here to kind of share some of their thoughts as well. I think one of those things that we ought to throw into the mix is that we do have that money just sitting there, and that perhaps could, if nothing else, give us an idea of one avenue for which that, you know, we might be able to use that grant money for.
What was the amount of that?
Don't trust my memory. I thought it
was, I don't remember. We'll
maybe $125,000. Where's Bryn?
I think it was $125,000.
Yeah, I may have doubled it in my mind. That was.
I think it was $109,000.
You doubling it.
At any rate, so we received some grant money to start an incubator program, and that's when we were,
you know, we were...
We talked to Salt Lake Community College, and there's other... We have not solidified what we're doing yet. But this, that would be a great place if there was a way to put young entrepreneurs...
Yeah, that whole idea of kind of fostering that young entrepreneur.
It's been about a year or so since we checked to make sure that money was there, but we could check on that. But it's like an air grant we had for historical preservation, $90,000 that Senator Bennett helped us get. It's still there. We've checked on it. Alan's actually made sure that was there, but we still haven't found the good use for that yet either. But that it's...
Yeah, it's just an idea to throw in the mix.
Those money's got strings attached to them, so...
Yeah. I'm giving... I'd like to hear from the public.
So, any more questions for Monty before we hear from the public? So, in just a moment, I'll go ahead and open up the public comment. Thank you, Monty. I appreciate that. Just as a point of privilege before I do that, so that the public is aware of my particular opinion, as of this moment right now, I don't have enough information to make an informed decision. So I don't want you coming... I don't want you to feel that you need to come in here to convince me personally that we should hold off on making a decision on that. It's up to the rest of the council as well as to what we do. But just kind of from where I'm sitting, I think that I don't have the information I need to make a decision, and so I would not necessarily be amenable to taking action on this tonight other than giving direction. At the same time, I'm one of five, and it's whatever the council as a whole decides to do. Is there anybody else that wants to make comment before we open the public hearing? Or the not public hearing, public comment.
Mayor, I'd like to make one comment, and Council Martin certainly wants to make comments, so I'll go after her.
Oh, I was just merely going to echo that. I think this is the start of a good conversation as to the use of this building. I'm very anxious to hear some of the public's feedback on that. There's an effort moving forward to try and look for uses for that. From my perspective, I just always want to be good stewards of the taxpayer dollars so that this not be a draw unnecessarily on taxpayer dollars. That being said, there's also really some good thought when people come together and think outside the box. And so I would concur with your thoughts here that this is a good start of a conversation. I myself would not be willing to move forward with any kind of action as well, but I am anxious to hear what the public has to say.
Okay, the comments I want to make is, yes, you heard earlier that I can get it for free at football games because I'm old. But with that said, I'm very aware of all the agreements were made early on, and we flushed that out with legal. What did we have to do with the agreement we made with the Lions Club Charter of Harriman way back when? The old Lions Club building was a building that brought from Kearns, actually moved to here from Kearns as their old Fort Kearns encampment. It was an interesting building. Depending on where you sat, you probably sat either a foot to 6 inches downhill or uphill from people in that building. The public needed a better public building. And we made an agreement with Lions Club so they could have storage and use of that building. And very aware of the agreement that was made that if the city at some time down the road seems a different purpose and use for that, that there was requirements made that has to put to that. And one was, at the end of the day, that a plaque recognizing the Harriman Lions Club impact and partnership, we partnered with them at that point. I know this is part of the conversation you'll probably hear from the residents as well. But also since then, the Harriman Charter Lions Club has... They're not no longer. They've dissolved. And when you think about Lions Club International, the representative back then was Ronnie Jones. Everybody knows Ronnie Jones of Bluffdale. But with that said, you know, the city has actually taken over some of the functions the Lions Club used to do because it wasn't very functional, wasn't able to do its mission it really wanted to do. The members kind of fragmented, so they dissolved that. With that said, I think we still have the Copper Lions Club thing that was on the wall of the old Kearns Barracks, that if the city wants to do something with that in the building, Let's just talk about plaque. There was a plaque on the wall. We removed it because we've had a lot of kids going in and out of there for other purposes, and we're still renting it out, let the public use it. And things are starting to get damaged more and more. But there's a plaque on the wall honoring the Lions Club as the Harriman hero of what they represent and brought to the community all those years of service. We've taken on the Chuck Wagon Breakfast as a event of the city and try to promote what they established for many, many years. So I wanted to make sure the council staff is very aware of the agreements and everything else. Staff is passionate about one thing, doing what the council gives us direction on. And yes, could the city make money unless it's burned somewhere else? But I know Monty, if you give him the money to budget, he will maintain that building. If you give direction for the city manager to go see if we can lease out pieces, and if you want to rent out to other organizations to run programs, you make that decision, we'll back you up. But it will come to some cost. And do I think there's a use of the building? Well, we have a building here now that we have a lot of public space. So if you want to repurpose this building a little bit and move some committees out of this building, put them back in that building, that's your decision as well. I have no problem with that. But we're just looking for that direction because we've been going down this path since before we actually asked permission to get appraisal on the building. So you talk spring of 2016. And because of the environments, we were told, go ahead. Nope, back off. Go ahead. Back off. Go ahead. And now we're going to back off, which we will do. We'll gather more information. We get it. We got a new council and mayor. And we want to make sure you're educated in your decision-making. Because at the end of the day, you have to answer to the residents of Harriman. And so that's why I want to make that comment. We can accomplish any goal that you put before us.
Thank you. All right. I think at this point, I will go ahead and open the public comment portion of this item. I'd like to once again reiterate that we do have a time limit of 2 minutes. If you are representing a group and you express that at the beginning, we will be happy to expand that to 5 minutes. So at this time, if you have a comment, please come up to the podium and make sure you state your name for the record, please. And Gordon, you have the timer?
Destiny's got it.
Okay.
Steve Garrett, 5443 West Genoa Court, Harriman. Real estate is my true love. I would suggest that the numbers between the rental and the value of the building like have to be way out of whack. When somebody with a checkbook in their hand looks to buy a commercial piece of property, I would just guess that they would want at least a 6% cap rate on this building. That means they're going to want a 6% rate of return or greater on a building of this nature. That would suggest, and if $180,000 a year, if I read that correct, was the yearly like income on this, that would suggest the building is worth, I don't know, I'm guessing again, like $3 million. So I think the city, I think this decision should be made financial with a little bit of emotion and a little bit of nostalgia tempered by it. And the answer and the question is this: can the city get more than 5% or more out of the value of the property in 5% rate of return yearly out of the property on the value that it's been set at? So I would urge the council to look at better numbers. Beyond that, our city is the most in debt per resident of any regular city I can find. I would urge the council to look at that number and compare us to other cities. Beyond that, the sale of this building might make a really good down payment on this building. That's my comments. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let me begin by saying that
It's a privilege to stand here in this beautiful facility. The council has done a good job with this building. I think it's a tribute again to the determination of the people of this city to do well the things that they embark upon. And I think that the city is recognized for that. This isn't a Taj Mahal, but it's certainly very nice and will last for a long time. I'm using too much of my 2 minutes here, so let me just speak for just a moment about this proposal. I appreciate the presentation that Monty has made and the effort has been made. I would say one of the things missing from that report is that that is a totally can't think of the word I was going to use, objective report. But objectivity doesn't count for subjectivity, and we're talking about services. We had in some of the conversation at the earlier meeting, we were talking about the wonderful facilities we have to serve kids throughout this end of the valley, with particularly Little League baseball and so on. So part of what we're doing is measured in terms of what are we doing to satisfy the needs and the lives, strengthen the lives, the opportunities for residents and services. And so I think that report didn't include any value. This was mentioned in the earlier comment, but time's up. Can I have another minute or two?
Mayor Crane, as a former mayor of the city, I will allow you another few moments,
please. Oh, you might regret to live that, to regret that.
I say a few moments.
He's new. So, he doesn't understand.
I don't know better.
The thing that I would like to say tonight is that when we talked about the transactions that have been made with that property, there were some intentions involved. And the property initially belonged to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that block was identified as a historical square, town square, so to speak. The chapel was built there, and the church utilized most of that 5 acres there. There used to be, when I was a youngster, there was an orchard out where this building present that we're talking about presently sits, with fruit trees and shade trees and a lot of bowery space, and it was a gathering place for the early residents of the city. The church eventually made space there for the elementary school. It provided the space for what is now known as the Main Street Park, and this space where the community center now exists. When the Lions Club received their charter in the mid-1950s, that corner, which, and I've forgotten whether it's 7/10 or 4/10 of an acre, well, something like that, was conveyed to the Lions Club and was utilized as a service club building for 50 years, pretty close to 50 years. And as the service clubs kind of lose favor in this country, the Lions Club kind of dissolved itself as well. And the city purchased that. This is my opinion because I can't read it into the contract as I went over the contract with John. There was a clear intent on the part of the city council that building would remain as a community building, a community services area. And while it may not be declared in that agreement that we entered into, shame on us for probably not making sure that something like that was in there. But the intent has always been that that be a public, a part of the public square. And I believe intent is a valid reason for justifying some of the decisions.
Mayor Crane, with all due respect, if you could start to wrap this up, please. Thank you. If you would start to close your comment here for me in the next few moments.
Okay. I'll quit with that. There are lots of uses that I could think of that could go into that building. There are lots of ways that I think we could help pay some of the costs that are involved in providing services. And so I'm hoping that the council would continue this item and that we could have a little closer look at some of these areas that haven't been totally vested. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. And can you just real quick state your name for the record?
Pardon?
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Oh, yes. My name is J. Lynn Crane. I live at 5814 West, 12900 South, here in Harriman.
And if I need to know how to spell that, it's out on the park, right?
That's right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Please feel free to hand it to staff.
Give me a shot.
Michelle Bagley, 6186 West Main Street. Thank you, Mayor and Council, for listening to us today. And I know that you have recognized that I'm causing a little trouble today. Could anybody who's here regarding the community center kind of raise your hand tonight? Okay, thank you. So just so you note that there are a few handful of people here. And I believe that you also received some emails from them. This is just a copy of the email that I sent you just a little bit earlier tonight, but I just wanted you to have a hard copy of it in case you didn't have it, and also ask you to include that as part of the public record. Mayor Crane specifically talked about intent tonight, and we've talked about many other things, but I would really like to zero in on intent because I think that that's critical, and I have taken the liberty of quoting Gary Ballard, who was the president of the Lions Club at that time. With his permission, he is also here. And if you will note, something that I believe that is of great import, and I neglected to find the date of the South Valley Journal article, but we'll provide that for you. 2000. November 2000, if you'll put that on in those parentheses there. The purchase price of the building is $98,000, according to Mayor J. Lynn Crane, it says. Additionally, the Lions Club has agreed to pay a one-time payment of $50,000 to the town to lease the building for their meetings and events until the year 2099. Now, I understand that the Lions Club is no longer in existence. I get that. But clearly, the intent was to use this building for community use from now and in perpetuity. I have provided with you with a number of options to look at this building, which included maybe renting the space in the basement, but also perhaps creating a foundation, looking for grant monies and other things that would accommodate the needs that have been expressed by the people in this community. Certainly, you provide space for organizations that are under the umbrella of the city, but what about those that are not? We have 4-H clubs. We have Daughters of the Utah Pioneers. We do not have a senior citizens organization here in the city yet. I believe that there are a number of organizations that could benefit from this. I believe that they would be great participants. And I believe if you would grant us the time that we could organize a good group and come up with some good solutions that will clearly, clearly demonstrate the intent for this building and that will preserve it.
It would be so kind as to start wrapping up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You guys all have to come make a comment before you can leave.
Or at least one of them. I say the tall scout. Thank you for coming.
Hello, my name is Nicole Hale. I live on 7252 West, 14100 South. And I am here, I wrote an email to all of you earlier, but I wanted to speak on the public record on this issue and give you an opportunity to ask questions if you have any about 4-H. So I'm a volunteer 4-H leader, and I have been for probably 7 years, 6 or 7 years. I've participated in livestock clubs, but 4-H is not all livestock clubs. I've also done a robotics club that won first in state a few years back. It was a lot of fun. I have done a makers club for a few years running for kids ages 8 to 12, and they make stuff. Basically, it's engineering, but it's hands-on, and they learn as they go. Recently, we did leather working. Right now, we're doing 3D printing. I did sewing last year, and there are many other clubs. 4-H can be anything that the youth want, anything at all. It could be entrepreneurship. It could be cooking. It could be anything, literally anything. It is youth-led with caring adults who volunteer to mentor them, and I'm one of those. So here in Harriman, it's interesting. Although we have 40,000 citizens almost approaching more, we do not have a good place to run multiple clubs. So the closest that we have is in Riverton. And in order to operate in Riverton, it's good, but it means that a lot of the youth in Harriman don't want to travel over there, and a lot of the adults don't want to leave their families to help out over there. So there are few who go over to Harriman, but the county has come and helped, and my group has actually led a class in robotics, and my teens
would
have
participated.
Would you
please start wrapping up a comment? Thank you.
My teens have participated in leadership, which also all of these feed into community competitions, portfolios that they keep, scholarships that they can earn, and trips that they can go on with other like-minded youth. It's also a service organization. My question that I wonder if the council or the board who's going to explore the use of this building would be, if we use this building, part of it, for a nonprofit agency such as 4-H that would build the community, would that exempt us from some of the tax burden on that building and therefore relieve the burden of the operating costs moving forward? Anyway, I think it's worth exploring. I'd be happy to serve on Michelle Bagley's committee, but I really think it's a great benefit to our community.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And I think that question is something that most of us on the council would like to hear addressed by staff. So we would look forward to hearing what our staff has to say regarding that particular question.
Okay. And if there are any questions about 4-H?
As a general rule, we don't ask questions during public comment. Okay. It's an opportunity for you to speak to us, and we want to make sure we give you the full time and opportunity for that. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Arlene McClanahan, 5937 West Olympiad Lane. I've lived in Harriman since 2005. I've come from Incline Village, Nevada. And one of the things we did for our nonprofits and our seniors and our community was we started a foundation, a group of citizens. We got together. Yes, there were a lot of very wealthy individuals, but there are a lot of wealthy foundations and individuals who are very giving here in Utah that would support senior citizens, Boys and Girls Club, 4-H, and other community organizations. And as citizens, there were a lot of us that would band together, take the time, and go solicit for the money to take care of a lot of the operating expenses. I know a lot of us are concerned about finances and how our thing is going to continue. I'm behind Michelle, and I support her all her years of service. So I would just ask the council to consider, Harriman, we have a lot of heart, and we can get behind you guys and support you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Gary Ballard, 6212 West, 13100 South, Harriman. I just want to thank you guys for actually considering keeping the building. It's my name on that contract that I signed it off. And is it emotional? Yes. Because the history of my wife's family that put that property and that building together, and then as a president of the Lions Club at the time, I signed that away and then donated back the $50,000, and then we put that pavilion, we provided that pavilion next to the park. We paid for that. And so I just want you to consider what the history of Harriman is. It's not this building. It's that, what we where we started. And I'm not originally from Harriman. My wife is, but I've been here for 26 years. So please consider all. I know it comes down to you guys for the financial end of it, and that's where the bottom line is. But when I look at this, I look at the ice skating rink, I look at all these things that, oh, let's just throw some money at some new trucks or some new things. Can we not save a little money for our history? For Harriman. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Brett, please don't give me those looks. My name is Connie Butterfield Durkee. I've been here since 1956. I am fifth generation from Thomas Butterfield. And I do feel that we need to keep something on that corner, that building for the elderly. I'm one of them now, and I'm disabled. And I do feel that we need something for us to keep that there to help some of us that are not able to leave the city for things. And like this young lady said, the young children need things like the 4-H to do places in town. And that is a safe place in the middle of town where the traffic is not quite as bad. And the kids know where that building is coming from the high school. I do support Michelle. She is my cousin, and I won't give her up. Sorry. But she is making a good point of needing this for our community. And we do have seventh generation still living here, and I do feel it's very important, like I said, for us. And I am one of the Harriman heroes of 2007. And I would definitely want you to please think about this for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Denise Jones. I live at 13752 South, 6400 West. I'm not a public speaker, I'm a preschool teacher. And we've used this building since, well, 15 years I've been teaching. And we've used it for our programs every year. There's not another place in Harriman. I mean, it's kind of sad to think that we'd have to go to Riverton and not be able to keep a building that's been so beautiful for, I know other people who teach voice lessons that live by me, other people that have their family parties there. It's a beautiful building that's already made, and the thought that keeps coming to my mind is, do we honor our commitments? We were here when my other daughter, when she went with Miss Lori, she had her preschool program in the old Lions Club building. And even though it was old, it was a beautiful building, slanted floors and all. Loved it. So the intent and these beautiful people who helped us to get this all arranged so our new city back then could have that building and the Lions Club be gone because of it, it was done with good faith. And I hope that you consider that we could use this. It's just like investing, like this man said, in the ice skating rinks, in the parks that where they play baseball, where we do the plays, in that beautiful Butterfield Park up there. It's just another investment. It's one of those things that, as a community, I feel like it's a big benefit for all of us, our kids, and for the families that live here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm Tracy Jones, 13752 South, 6400 West. And I'm Denise's, according to three-year-olds, I'm Denise's father, but I'm actually her husband. The one thing I want to talk about, I'm in Harriman because of a friendship legacy. So I came out to the Chuck Wagon Breakfast and ate pancakes in the bottom of that building. That set aside, I feel the same way. I think you can put a lot of money into the investment into is it viable financially, but I do think it's worth the time to go through and find out if there's a use for it. And I believe it warrants the same respect as it does financial, as it does if we look at it in those ways. And I believe Nicole mentioned incubator. When you look through the business listings in Harriman, there are a number of businesses that are being incubated in a home, which I think you could capture and use some of those things to foster some of these businesses that could move into a commercial spot that we have in Harriman that could help someone progress and make bring a little bit more business into Harriman. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other individuals that would like to comment at this time? With that, I will take a motion to close the... No, there's not a motion. I will close the public comment. Discussion by the council.
Let's go first. Go for it.
I appreciate very much all the people that have came here and commented tonight and all the other people that have reached out. I, too, have received several correspondence about... the desire to keep this. I also have received correspondence about the desire to sell it if it's going to continually be a tax burden or a cost burden on the residents also. So it becomes a tricky balancing thing, but I believe it all has to be considered. I applaud the efforts behind trying to come up with some solutions, because that's truly what we're here to do, is come up with the best solution for this building. I think that there are some viable uses for it. We just have to put our heads together and work hard to come up with some solutions. So this appearance here tonight for all of us can't just be a one-time thing. We just have to work hard and get things down on paper and come up with the solutions and come up with what best serves the public, be it expenses or good public use. So I very much appreciate you being here tonight and making those types of comments. Flip a coin.
I'll just make a few comments. First of all, echoing what Sherry said, one of the things that I truly love about our community is the passion that we have and that brings us out to get involved. That's what community is all about. So I applaud those who took the time to come tonight and to make sure that their voice was heard on this issue. And I think there's been some good points made, both financially and emotionally. One that definitely struck a chord with me, because it was the environment in which I was raised was speaking to the 4-H programs. Though I was on the livestock end of things growing up, it's still something in providing for opportunities for our youth to find their own passions and providing those opportunities. And that's something that those who know me have heard me say before, that I'm concerned about what the future of Harriman brings and what opportunities that lends to our children who we are currently raising and hope to just see them stay here in their lifetimes. So to that point, I am interested in, before we move to make any decisions on this, to making sure that we do all the research, that we look at all of the options, and that we look at those that are viable. I, too, have heard concerns from residents on both sides of the issue. One thing I don't want to have happen in our community is that we get 10, 15, 20 years down the road and recognize that we missed an opportunity, because those you can't get those back. And I look at other communities out there who have groups that are all in the same place who are absolutely begging their communities to find funding to help build additional buildings to support the arts, to support senior programs, to support the youth programs. And so all of those involved, I want to make sure that as this body, we're taking the time that is necessary to make it a very informed decision, considering all options on this and all factors, one of which absolutely has to be the financial factor in that. We are tasked with the financial viability of our community moving forward, not only now, but how do we prepare to sustain that in the future? So all of those have to be taken into effect. But I think that we have an opportunity, again, to engage more of our public, to have them help do some of this legwork for us, and I think we should look for ways to incorporate that as we move forward in this process.
We're all looking at you now, Jared.
I know Nicole wants to say something.
Well, I already made my comments on the outset that I think there's no harm, no foul to taking our time with this. We have a citizenry that is willing to create a committee of sorts to at least analyze what the possible uses are. And I think, as I've listened to you, I think you also understand the fiscal responsibility that we have. And so I am supportive of taking the time necessary to at least explore what some options are. Because once it is sold, it's sold. And then we have lost that option, and so it's not as if we can't come up with a good option, that the selling option is not there. But at any rate, I do think it's worth a discussion, so I'm supportive of moving in that direction.
So I'll echo all those thoughts, and I'll say up front, yeah, we need to take adequate time. But so a couple things. One, the involvement in the community, that's why we're all here, is we all got involved in the community at some point. We don't really have a community without involvement and spaces to do these things. But I also appreciate the fact that most of you recognize the financial impact that it has. And we have to, in order to even attempt it, we have to find a solution to that. So I just want to go back to the work that the Monty and a lot of other people put into these numbers. This is really just to give us an idea. My personal opinion, I can't speak for anybody else, especially new council, but previous conversations we've had, I don't think it, if we were to try to keep it and lease out part, you know, rent part of it and use other for community or rent the entire thing, one, I don't know that any of us, I'll just say previous council, but in short conversations we've had, anybody's intention is that we'll actually trying to make money on this. I personally, this is just my own personal opinion, I'm skeptical that even if we tried to just lease it out, that we would get near breaking even on operating costs. So, I mean, the idea that it might make money, I, for all the reasons Monty pointed out, I think that once you got it out there in the market, we'd find out that there might be some interest, but not at those rates for all those reasons, location, the zoning of surrounding area, the condition of the streets, et cetera. So I think there's some issues there, as well as the sale price. I'm really, to this point, it hasn't been shopped. We don't know if there's any real interest for anyone to actually purchase it at that cost or anything lower than that. I mean, so what I would like to see is what staff's asking for is some kind of direction, because for 18 months we haven't made it any further than this conversation. So I appreciate Brett's frustration as well, is we've vacillated some and we've wasted a lot of time. And at this point, time is money. Each month we're incurring these costs. Each month that it remains vacant, we'll see more vandalism, et cetera. So I guess my question would be, and we've all had conversations, I think, with Michelle and some of the other residents, we all want to explore that option. The question is, how much time do you think we need? Are we talking a couple of months? Are we talking a year? Because this, as we look at going through we're having our retreat here in a few weeks to talk about the upcoming budget, right, which runs mid-year, this is a big price tag to look at. There's a lot of other competing things. We still have dirt roads in this city, safe walking routes to schools, et cetera, competing for these dollars. And it'll be really hard for us to justify to those people that have been asking for those things for years that we're spending $110,000 on a vacant building. So while I think we're all supportive of the effort, that would be my question for you guys. And it's not one you necessarily have to answer tonight, but if you guys can organize yourselves and pursue some of the things that I know Michelle and I talked about, grants and some of these other programs, because one of the answers to the question I think we can actually give regarding the 4-H, if we rent it to nonprofit organizations, will it help reduce these costs? The answer is no, these are just operating costs. If we keep it for community use, there's no taxes. We don't pay any taxes. We only incur taxes, which would be an additional cost to this if we lease it out to other organizations. So it really is a bottom line. Can we offset a chunk of this cost? I personally, I'm not looking for us to offset all of it, but we would have to be able to justify it. We need to offset a good chunk and then say we're kicking in the difference for these community programs because they're worthwhile. So while I think we're all in agreement with that, we really need some help as well, because we can't, I tried to make the point earlier, I don't think at least we can task staff too much with trying to be a real estate broker either. And then we have to build those costs into it as well, and there's nothing more expensive than manpower. So as we continue the discussion, I guess that's the direction that I would kind of give you guys is work with us. Tell us what you're trying to do. Tell us where you're going and how much time you think you need, because these bills are coming in every month. And we need to be able to give staff some direction. For tonight, I don't know if we can do it somewhat informally, but the brokers that we've spoken with, I would like to find out what kind of actual interest there is. Because even if we want to sell it, I really am skeptical of how quickly that could be done and at what price. Like, we need to know what the market really is as well.
And to that point, if you want to come and answer that a little bit right there, our point was, if we had to put on a surplus, where we can test the market. If you want us to find out from a broker what market is, they told us, it's great, we can do this. But they're trying to get a
contract. Always going to say that, because they want you to sign on the dotted line. And then
I'm not sure who's really going to give us a good opinion unless we spend dollars hiring someone to do that for us.
So the broker, we talked about that before, most of them work on commission. They generally aren't going to make any money unless they actually get it sold or leased. If we were to engage a broker to test the market, we necessarily wouldn't be out of anything, because in the end, we don't have to sell it or lease it if we don't want to, right? So why would we not be able to at least start getting some information on the other end, which we've been talking about for a year and a half, but we have no idea what kind of interest there really is.
And that's where we were at. Yeah. No one will really show us that very strong until we hire somebody.
So are you looking at a dual track? So we establish a committee that looks at alternate uses at the same time that we engage a broker just to test the market, and then we look at what our options are from both sides.
That's what I'm thinking, if it doesn't cost us anything, because if anything, I think that would help us see what that opportunity is, as well as the potential for a combination, right? If they can get several groups that are willing to rent it or find some grant money, and we've seen that there's some interest for rental of part of it, that sets us down that path. For the 2 years I've been on the council, 18 months of it has been this, and we haven't made any progress whatsoever. Like, we have no idea what we're doing, and now that we're in this building, we're losing money every day. So I just like to give Brett and staff some direction to start moving forward in some fashion.
Right. And let council not even in our issue with this. When we designed this building, our intent was for that public and community use, which we couldn't get the green light and start people reserving this building until we had a fee schedule, which has been adopted now. So if we're going to run the same programs in here and there, how much space do we need is my comment. Because this building was designed to where a 4-H group or whatever, if they reserve the building and room and whatever your fee structure is, they have that conference room or the big room or whatever. We don't have to have staff to come and open doors and close doors for them. It's done automatically through that card fob access. That building's different. It'd have to probably be restructured or rebuilt to accommodate some of that independent use. Mm-hmm. And here again, whatever you decide to do, but we need to understand if we're not going to use this space in this building, we didn't design it correctly.
I would agree with that, but I'd also agree with Nicole's comment that once it's sold. Like we lose that opportunity to, if we want to expand to other uses and provide other services, et cetera, that maybe weren't considered. I do think we owe it to ourselves and the community to pursue those options. I guess my thing is it can't be open-ended either. Like we as stewards of the public purse, we have a responsibility to mitigate the cost that we're racking up every month now.
And for the record, Council, I'm actually sympathetic to the history part of all this as well. But, you know, I've approached you before on preserving some of our history, and we're starting to slip some opportunities of buying properties or whatever that truly have the last old structure of the 1800s that we'll not be able to capture if we lose those opportunities. So here again, I'm going to come to a whole lot of issues and say, what's your priority? If this is your priority, that's what we will do. And I think I got some direction. The only direction I'm kind of miffed on is you're saying no dollars. It's really hard to get a broker to engage us without a contract.
That's my question. I don't know if you guys have.
So I think what you're trying to say is you want to pick a broker so that they will start doing.
So that we'll at least know what the market is. Is there any interest in leases to combine with some community uses?
And part of the timeline I would probably throw out to council that when we built this building, we budgeted fully for this fiscal year to pay for both buildings and maintain them both. Because we knew really clear we don't know what the market's going to be and how long it's going to take. And our objective was if council gave us direction to move forward to do something different, lease or rent it or sell it, we would probably still program it and rent it until that comes about, because we just don't know how strong that market is. And so I just need clear direction on spending some money. I'm not sure Alan's hiding over there. I think we'd get a number, we'd have to come back and amend the budget because we didn't budget for a broker contract at this point.
Well, I guess that's my question. Do we know about what the cost would be? If we've spoken to them, I'm sure.
There's usually on a sale or a.
That's what I'm thinking. It's usually commission.
So if we don't choose not to sell,
I'm thinking there wouldn't be a cost unless
we just. So all the broker firms that we contacted were all the same. They're 3%. If the broker tends to represent the seller and the buyer, they usually give you a 2% discount, drop it down to 4% total.
But totally commission-based,
right,
if you actually sell or sign leases.
And so basically,
so we could still engage one without incurring costs.
Until the sell, which we would have to have anyways.
Yes.
Does that make more sense, Brent?
You got it.
Because even if they find someone, whether it's to buy or lease, we don't have to sell or lease it. Right? But at least then we know what we're dealing with. And for all these people, they're going to put in a lot of hard work on the other side. Then they'll know, they'll have a better idea of what they've got to come up on with their half, if that makes sense.
And for tonight's conversation, I'm going to tell Michelle and her group that she's organizing with Lynn Crane and all those involved. I'll be the point of contact with that, and we'll figure out what staff I decide to spend time to help them organize that. But we'll give you continual reports how that's coming along, so they don't walk out of here saying, okay, what do we do from here?
Sorry, Mooney, I
contact
kind of
me,
jumped in front of you.
Contact me, and then we'll figure out what staff's going to be involved.
So just to Jared's comment, it sounds like we still got to wait for a motion for the council. But just to kind of clarify what he's saying is we would go out, sign a contract with a broker for 6 months, a year, whatever we think, whatever they agree to, and have them start putting something together, whether we ask them for a lease or sale. At the same time, looking at a citizens group coming back. That's kind of what I'm hearing your motion. Okay, it wasn't a motion. Your suggestion that might come up as a motion.
Yes, I'd like us to pursue all options.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, because I'm just, if I were in, and I've been in, if I were in your shoes, I've been in your shoes, I want to know what the opportunity is to have, because it's, I mean, it's a fairly large building. You said any, I doubt that, well, Monty had said earlier that it's not likely that there would be a single user, right? So I would want to know if there's a dentist office that wants to take the first floor and the community can take the second floor, well, how much do we have to come up with to make it worthwhile, right?
I believe that our attorney would like to say something.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about going ahead with a broker, because the deal you make with the broker is you bring us a willing seller or a willing buyer, and we'll pay you this commission. So if we set the price at $1 million, for example, and he brings a buyer and we don't want to do it, guess who gets to pay the commission? Us. So I think we just need to be real careful about that, if you understand what I'm saying.
I knew that.
One more comment on that.
The one more thing, too, is so in tonight's meeting, if we're going to engage a broker, one of the things that the council would have to do is to set a minimum bid. So we really can't start the engagement. And so this meeting, you can do that. This has the flexibility because it's been noticed as a surplus property and all the things that John tells us to do. So if you do decide to tell us to engage a broker, include in your motion what the minimum bid we're going to sell the property for.
How can you possibly know that if you don't understand the market? Or what?
Well, we did get the appraisal a year and a half ago. We had the broker come in, and to Jared's point, brokers get pretty excited if they want a listing, and he told us we'd sell it for $2.5 million. So he was, and we've talked to others that have different opinions. However, you don't know what you don't know, and we're going to have to engage somebody to know something. Now,
right. We'll
talk to them all again. Monty, we'll talk to them all again, and we will press them a little bit more. But it's going to be a really unique business that lands here because of the layout of this building. It has a basement. It had, you know, so it's not going to be your typical. So my advice, if we did try to sell it, you would want a fairly big brokerage firm that ends up dealing with lots of really odd companies that might really find this space their exact need. Otherwise, we'll run through a lot of people that will look at the parking, the location, the surrounding, and they're going to say, this doesn't meet the typical thing. So
it sounds like to me, I'll just throw this in, I'm not looking to make a motion to engage anyone. I'm looking for some direction. Let's find out some details. If we were, how would that work? What would we be obligated to anything?
If we sign, they will do something for free, but you generally get that. Okay, there was a old saying.
You get what you pay for.
Right, that's what I meant to say. So they will do some work, but it's
half-hearted
doesn't give
at best.
Me the confidence that you're looking for. I wouldn't feel confident. So I splurted out what other people told us. We didn't do that in the presentation because I don't feel confident they didn't put in the work or effort,
right.
And I don't believe they will until they know there's some money at the other end. So we if we signed a deal, if you guys give us a minimum bid, we will engage them and push them to get something done. But it's hard to push them when we are just fishing, I guess.
So I think we'd all want to continue this, but I think we've got to give some clear direction to staff.
So what I'm going to do, what I'm hearing a little bit, and see if I've captured it. You would like to see what a broker, what the market would do. That's going to be difficult for us to go without engaging into a contract with a broker, a signed agreement. So the This is just the 10th. So let's just back off a little bit. Let's gather some more information, work with Michelle and others, get this more information for you, and we'll test what we can without spending dollars, what the market may be. But here again, until you engage, you wouldn't want to. So we'll bring you back numbers of what ifs and possibly what ifs they can deliver to help offset the cost and program the building up. We'll work on all those parameters, come back maybe something on the 24th as an update. Then you can decide, have a little bit more knowledge to say, okay, engage with the broker versus no. Let's go down the center path and whatever it may be. Maybe a little remodeling, some maintenance, some shared, whatever it is, a foundation that's formed. At least we can, I have not sat down with Michelle on this or any of the others. So we need to work together and we will give it due diligence and work with them. And so you have a very good case for, does that look good or it still don't look as strong? Brett, let's put on the council to surplus and get engaged with a broker. Is that, sure, would that work for you?
Yeah, I just, real estate agents are competitive. So if you're going out to shop something, no matter if you're shopping for sell your home or you're selling a business, this agent here wants your business and so does this agent. So it would seem to me like they're going to try and sell their services to you by providing you with some of that information. I have friends that I can call and say, hey, what do you think my house is worth, that work in the market, and they'd say, well, in your area, da, 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 right? And that same type of information I'm sure you can get. And if you get opinions from four different people and they're all over the board, then that's questionable. But if they're pretty close to each other, then you can kind of go, yeah, that seems like they know the market. It seems like this is something we could, it seems pretty close. It makes sense that this would be it.
So I'd like to take just a minute here and kind of share some of my thoughts. First off, I applaud the residents for making their voice heard. This is an important process, and clearly all of us are willing to take the time to give you an opportunity to, you know, present a solution to us. I hope residents quickly learn that I would love to see solutions brought to us and not just their concerns. And so this is an attempt by residents to bring a solution that we can consider and move forward. And that is extremely positive in my opinion and leads me to want to give the opportunity for that solution to play out, to see if it's viable, see if it's not. Personally, in my opinion, we might hear from the rest of the council on this, I believe that this solution is a citizen-driven solution at this point. I would not envision our city staff spending excessive amounts of time helping our community provide a solution that the council hasn't given the direction to create. With that being said, I also think that it's important that this residents have the access to the resources that they need. And so while I would not be in favor of dedicating large number of man hours to assist the citizens group with putting together their solution, I would be insistent that if there are informational needs that they need from the city, that we would be more than happy to help provide those as well. I see this as a citizen-driven proposal, and I encourage it, and I want to see more, but that's, in my opinion, where I would like to see that, keeping in mind I'm only one member of a council of five. I love the idea of incubation program. If that is a way that we could make something work for even just a year, to see if we can hold off and give that opportunity to see if it grows, great. I would want to review it in a year and see if it really has taken off the way that has been proposed. As of right now, without seeing any actual options proposed, I would feel remiss if we did not, as a council, indicate to staff that I feel that it's appropriate for us to start moving forward one way or another. I don't want this to continue on for another year and a half. I would like to personally see a resolution of decision by the end of this fiscal year. And if we don't make, you know, and if we don't have information to help make that decision within that time frame, we'll have to go with the information that we have. And so I hope to set an expectation to this, you know, this group that's forming, that we're going to move forward in a timely manner. We're going to give, I'm personally amenable to giving you the time to put something together, give us a presentation, show us what you've got, and I will give you, you know, everything I can do to help you with that, absolutely. But we as a council have that responsibility to move forward. I think our residents have been frustrated in the past that we never get anything done. And so my goal is to set that expectation now and move forward with whatever option we can get by the end of this current fiscal year. Nicole, did you have a comment?
I was going to say that they perceive that we don't get anything done, but we get lots of things done.
The only thing I've gotten done is get some board members appointed. I'm just saying. That's because this is the first meeting. They have. I mean, look at this wonderful building that we have now. Obviously, our council and former councils have all done a lot. I think it's disingenuous to not be transparent with what our expectations are. I expect that I will be pushing to move one way or another by the end of this fiscal year. And
which is June 30th.
Which is June 30th, right? And I would expect that we would have a vote, one to either sell or to move forward with another program by that time. I am in that process. I need to see progress from the community group during that time so that we can say we're not just waiting around and incurring expenses while we do this. And in a lot of ways, I think we will be pushing staff to consider what all of our other options are. One thing I would like to see, he keeps trying to interrupt me. I see it, Brett.
No, I was just going to make a comment. You say June 30th.
Say it's probably the same one I'm going
to
make.
We have a budget cycle coming up. We have to budget for that building to make it next year.
So we have to keep in mind that the cycle, right? So if we wait until June 30th, July 1st, whatever, to engage a broker to sell or try to lease, then you're going to be waiting months for them to actually find someone.
Just from advice from our city manager, what is a reasonable time frame to be able to expect staff to provide us with some of this information and see that we are on a positive path forward?
Working with whatever the...
Working with the community as...
I'm calling the Michelle Foundation Group right now.
Please come up with a better name, Michelle. As part of that direction, if we could find the money that we have set aside for the grant for the incubator program,
please.
It may be worthwhile as part of that to have a conversation with EDC Utah or some other organizations that could help on that side of things, if that's, you know, an option with the incubator program. Because that's money that we do have already that would, you know, lengthen this process a little bit.
And those things will buy some time.
Yes.
So for sure. But I think the mayor's point is the one that needs to be made, is that while I think we're all in agreement that, yep, we want to explore those options, and we're extremely thankful for you guys and others I know that aren't here tonight that are going to put in some time and effort to try to find a solution. That's the main thing. It would be disingenuous of us not to tell you that there is a big time constraint. Like, time is of the essence. We can't wait 6 months. It's really a couple of months to know kind of what direction we're going in to then go and pursue it.
Yeah. We have to have some information for this body to consider as we get into that budget process for the next fiscal year.
I know I'm getting looks to say, you know, how many months do I get? I don't think we can give that right now until we hear back from our staff. I would suggest that we get an update at our next council meeting, probably in a work meeting, to get some additional information so that we can work with our residents to move forward.
Okay.
Take the time you need so we have the info.
Is that a reasonable expectation for next meeting?
I already mentioned that in part of what I was saying. The next council meeting, we'll update you.
Okay, fantastic. So is there any other comment from the council before I accept a motion? Okay, I'm willing to accept a motion.
I will motion to continue ordinance number 2018-01, declaring Harriman Community Center located at or near 13011 South Pioneer Street, Harriman, as surplus, establishing a minimum bid and establishing a method to determine the highest and best economic return to the city.
Second.
Do you have a time frame on that? What? Time frame? Without date?
Continue. Without date.
Without date? Okay.
Second.
Second. Is this a... All in favor?
Aye.
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 And aye as well. So that motion passes, and we are going to move on. Thank you. Feel free to please stick around and continue to listen to us ramble about all the different things that we do. But if you feel that, I know the hour is becoming late, if you would like to leave, to go take care of children or whatever it is you do, please feel free to do so at this time. Are you making fun of me?
No.
All right, so that was item 6.1. Item 6.2, discussion and consideration of a text change to the land use ordinance regarding the mobile food trucks. Michael Malloy.
Hello. So this is the text change for the new chapter about food trucks. The we talked about this a few months ago. The you know, there's been a lot of interest in food trucks lately, and there wasn't really anything in the current ordinance to address it. So we proposed the chapter. It went to Planning Commission, came to the council. There was some changes in the state legislature last year, so John Brems had to make some additional changes. So the council sent it back to the Planning Commission in December with those changes. Planning Commission reviewed it, didn't have any issues, recommended approval again. So you have that in front of you. So again, this is for, this deals with food trucks, and mainly, again, allows food trucks on commercial property in a paved parking lot, basically. So we have some that now are parking in, like, the O'Reilly's parking lot. They could go to the Walgreens parking lot. You know, they need to get permission from the property owner, and all that's outlined in the ordinance.
That would allow for schools to continue to do the same thing as well, correct?
What's that?
That would allow for the schools to continue to do the same thing as well?
The schools, as long as it's on school district property, they can do whatever they want to do.
Fantastic. That was, that's what I'd like to...
Yeah, that was one of the questions that had come up. But yeah, on school district property, they're their own thing. This, again, only allows it on commercial property or mixed-use property, which is the town center properties. And then only on city property during city-sponsored, city function, city events, and only at the park here at Crane Park or at Butterfield Park. We didn't want them at other random parks in the city. So just at those two parks during events, like we invite them here to the skating
rink. Is it during events, or should it be by invitation specifically? Because we is really the ice rink and, you know, the ice ribbon being open an event. I would hate for there to be misinterpretation on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, there's a whole, Wendy has a lot of, a whole policy and paperwork that they go through. So it's really, I mean, yes, it really is by invitation from the city. So again, they can't just park at city property. They can't just show up, but they've been invited and they have Wendy's approval to be here. So that's the city's approval to be here, yeah. So that's really, again, the ordinance, like I said, it gives hours of operation. They have to get a business license if they're from here. If they're from a different city, they get a license there. Yeah. Any other questions on that? Pretty straightforward. We want food trucks, so.
They smell so good when you walk by. Corn Dog Commander, I'm just saying.
That's all I got.
We would love to have more food trucks pop up from Harriman, and then that way it benefits us.
That's right.
Additionally.
That's right. Sure. Do we have any discussion by the council?
No, Mayor, I'm prepared to make a motion on item 6.2.
Okay.
I'd like to motion to approve ordinance number 2018-02, authorizing a text change to the land use ordinance to add a chapter regarding mobile food vendors.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? I will call for vote. Nicole?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
Sherry, just for clarity.
Sorry, I thought you said Sherry. Yes.
No. All right, and I will vote yes as well, so that motion passes. Next item that we have is Item 6.3, discussion and consideration of a resolution appointing trustees to the Harriman City Safety Enforcement Area. You may hear us refer to it as the HCC, as in SEA, an ocean. So please be aware that you may hear that. We will try to use the long form for clarity. Go ahead, John.
Okay, as part of the withdrawal from Slavisa, we formed a service district. And I gave you a memo at our fourth meeting. I'm sure it was delightful reading of the processes we needed to go through to create this new animal to fund the service of police services. So the first thing is to for this council to appoint members to the board of trustees of that new entity, and that's what this resolution is. I believe there's blanks in there. My recommendation is that you appoint yourselves. Otherwise, it just creates more problems than I know what to deal with. So.
And John, just for clarification, if the decision is to appoint members of the elected body, the terms would coincide with our own
terms.
Yeah,
and I think I have that language in the ordinance or in the resolution.
Okay.
Any discussion on this item? I'll accept the motion.
Motion to approve resolution number R08-2018, appointing the members of the Board of Trustees of Harriman City Safety Enforcement Area.
Second.
By inserting your name.
Yeah, we don't have any names yet.
Oh. That was part of your motion, correct?
So to include?
Council members for their elected terms.
But you want the actual names for the roles, yes?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So there's blanks in there.
So you've got to use
I think
names.
We know what you want.
All right. Okay, we're good.
I've got two thumbs up.
Okay, so I have a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, with that, I'll take a vote. Jared?
Yes.
Sherry?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
And I will vote yes. That motion passes. All right, on to item 6.4, discussion and consideration of a resolution approving an interlocal agreement with the Unified Police Department regarding cell phones. And that will be Brett.
Okay. So once you get these assignments out, do you have any concern about who recommended that by yourself or?
Item 6.4, cell phones for UPD.
Right. Okay, had a different topic. The cell phones, as you know, or maybe you do not know, Unified Police Department actually supplies their cell phones, but it actually started years ago. We started supplying officers cell phones so they didn't have to come back to a precinct, make a phone call, make contact with a resident. They'll do that in their car. And as technology has improved, they have used this as a tool, and it's broadened. Actually, all cities actually pay UPD for cell phone service for their officers. We have, on the other hand, done that cell phone service in-house, and my recommendation by our officers, they prefer doing it with us, even though they're both state contracts. Ours are with Verizon, which is a state contract, and theirs is with AT&T, which is on a state contract as well. The difference is, in the Harriman area particularly, AT&T doesn't work very well. And so we only have a very few black holes in the Harriman area with Verizon. So our proposal is this interlocal allows them to have access to our cell phone records for the officers only. So for grammar requests or whatever, court orders or whatever may happen. That's all this interlocal is. Does that help you out a little bit?
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Any discussion by the council? I'll accept a motion.
I'll motion to approve resolution number R09-2018, approving an interlocal cooperative agreement with the Unified Police Department with respect to cell phones.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. I'll go ahead and take a vote. Sherry?
Yes.
Jared?
Yes.
Clint?
Yes.
Nicole?
Yes.
And I will vote yes. That motion passes. All right. So we were on to item 7, which is scheduled meetings. So we will meet again on, the Planning Commission will meet again on January 18th at 6 p.m. for their meeting. We will meet again as a City Council on January 24th. Our work meeting will begin at 5, and then our general City Council meeting with opportunity for public comment, it will begin at 7. I'd also like to mention that there is on January 11th, so tomorrow, a radon awareness prevention here at City Hall at 6:30 p.m. Good news for the people that come. The first 20 attendees get to receive a free test kit for radon in their home. So we'd encourage any members of the community that would like to come to that, please feel free to come and participate. It'll be down in our community room. All right, so at this time, to make sure we do this correctly, we need to recess so that we need to recess the meeting so that we can go into our Special Community Development and Renewal Agency of Harriman meeting before we have to go back into a general meeting so that we can go into a closed session. So, yes, all of those things. So I would need a motion to recess our current meeting.
Motion to adjourn City Council meeting.
Is it adjourn or is it recess?
Okay, motion to recess.
Thank you.
City Council meeting.
Second.
All right, we are so recessed. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.